Blog Talk Radio.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Good morning and welcome to a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keith. I know it's not Saturday, it's Sunday, but you know how I am. If it's something really important, I'm going to do it on a different day. And stroke awareness is a definite top-of-the-list item that a lot of people need to know about, that they don't know about what it is to have a stroke, what are the signs of a stroke. If you have a stroke, what can you do afterwards? And as a bystander, you know, how can you recognize that someone is even having a stroke? Because if they're having a stroke, they can't even tell you maybe. So today's show is very important. I have two wonderful guests on the show. Fitness guru Carol Dunlop, she's the founder of Optimum Body Sculpting, and she's a fitness professional, and she can help you not only lose weight, but sculpt your body, focus on your diet. She has a website. It's optimumbodysculpting.com. So you want to check her out. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And also your husband, Alvin, is on the line. Good morning, Alvin.
Good morning. Good morning.
They're both here representing, you know, life after a stroke. Her husband, Alvin, is a stroke survivor. And Carol is a caregiver, as they call it, so to speak. I think we're all caregivers, especially women. We kind of shoulder that a lot sometimes. In many different relationships, not just in marriage, but in friendships and so on and so forth. That's a cultural thing. But being a caregiver of someone who had a stroke is a completely different thing. Let me just let you know that a stroke is sometimes called a brain attack, and it occurs when a clot blocks the blood supply to part of the brain or when a blood vessel in or around the brain bursts. In either case, parts of the brain become damaged or may die, and this is according to the CDC. Carol, how did you know that your husband was having a stroke? Were you with him when he had a stroke? No,
actually I was not with him. I had been with him a few minutes before the stroke actually happened. We were actually at a tire place. He was getting his car serviced, and he said, hey, you know, you can go on home. I got it, because I had driven him. I had followed him there in my car, and he said, well, you can go on home. I was like, okay, this was about 6 o'clock in the evening. Mm. I went home. We only live 5 minutes from the place, and got home, and then about 6:20 or so, he called me in a panic, and he said, I don't know what's happening. Something's wrong. My whole left side, but it actually was affecting his right side. He said, my whole left side is numb, and I can't talk. And at that point, he was slurring his speech. I mean, it sounded like he was drunk or, you know, just totally unlike him. So at that moment, I thought he could be having a stroke. It just popped in. I was like, oh, my gosh. So in the same instance, he had called his sister, who was actually a medical professional, and left her message. And then she called me and said, hey, he sounds really bad. Where are you? And I was like, I'm on my way right now, because when I hung up from him, I just left the house. I was there to him in about 5 minutes. And she said, I don't know. And I said, what do you think it is? And she said, I think he's having a stroke. And I said, I do too. And she said, well, call 911. And that was what put things into play. I called 911. By the time I got to the place, the ambulance was pulling up. And when he met me at the door, my husband, he was dragging his arm and he was dragging his foot. And it just confirmed that I knew he was having a stroke. So it kind of went from there.
So, Alvin, what was your perspective of what happened? She's telling me, you know, from the outside, but from the inside, do you remember the different sensations, the feelings, the disorientation? Do you remember that happening?
Well, definitely. I was sitting down, and, you know, when I was sitting down, it felt like if my right leg was going to sleep, you know. So I got up. I got up, and everything was feeling heavy, like I was moving in slow motion. So I said, well, I'm going to just call Carol and tell them, you know, maybe come back because I might be feeling a little sick. Well, when I called and started talk, You know, it sounded like I was slurring. I couldn't even get my words out. So I started panicking. Mm. She knew what was going on, and, you know, she said, okay, I'm on my way back down. She didn't tell me anything at that point about a stroke or anything. I just told her, come get me, bring me home. And I called my sister also and just left a message for her, say, hey, you know, I'm slurring. I hope you understand this. Call Carol if you don't understand it, but something is going on. And I hung up from them. I was sitting down waiting for her to come, and I hear the ambulance coming. I said, wow, somebody else sick out this way, because, you know, could hear it coming close. As my wife pulled up, the ambulance pulled up, it was for me. I was like, what? So I didn't know it was coming for me. I said, wow, somebody have an emergency. But I had work all that day. And when I tell you I had no symptoms, when this is a silent killer, when they tell you about looking out for your body, you know, I know that now, because I can't think on one symptom I had all day, 8 hours, and then drove in traffic back, back up our way, and I don't remember having any issues, you know.
Right.
And we were probably there maybe 20, 30 minutes when I felt, when the stroke came on, so... not something I want anybody to go through. It's not something you want to go through. Really.
Well, one of the things that the National Stroke Association talks about is acting fast.
Mm-hmm.
And that acronym, S-A-S, as in Sam T, correlates to face, arms, speech, and time. So if you or someone you know is experiencing a stroke, or just to have in your memory bank, S for face, does the one side of the face droop?
Right.
Ask the person to smile. Arms, it correlates to A. Ask the person to raise their arms. Is one arm drifting down, even though they may think they're holding the arm up? S correlates to speech. Ask the person to repeat a very simple phrase. And is their speech slurred? In the case of Alvin, you know, his speech was slurred or awkward.
Right.
And then time, if you observe, you know, the previous three, immediately you need to call 911. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't call a relative. I had Dr. Ronnie Whitfield on, and he was talking about how, you know, a lot of people want to call a family member immediately,
right.
You know, but call 911 first and then call the family member.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. You know, do you agree with that, Carol? Do you think that was I mean, he called you because you're his wife,
yep.
though, you know?
Well,
I know.
I called her.
Go ahead.
Carol, excuse me, but I really called you because I didn't know what was happening. I had no idea what was happening, a stroke. They knew. So.
Yeah.
Right. And I can totally concur with that whole thing. Call 911, and I tell everybody, and that's why I'm so glad that you're doing this show and you're getting it out to people. It's so important that if you even think I could be having a stroke or this might be a stroke, then you need to call. See, in Alan's case, he had no idea. He was like, you know, something's not right. And then that could be something, too, especially if you're with yourself, because in going through this whole experience with Alvin, through the rehab and all that, we learned so many things where people might have what they call a wake-up stroke, where they have a stroke in the middle of the night. They wake up, and they just feel kind of, you know, something doesn't feel right. That sixth sense, we really, really have to listen to it. And they'll say, something doesn't feel right. But instead of alerting somebody or trying to get up and see, they just go back to sleep. And at that time, it may be too late to try to reverse some of the symptoms they've had. You know, there is treatment for stroke immediately if you can get to the hospital or get to the emergency room, get to the, you know, the people in time. But if you wait, the medication that they could give you or the treatments that they could give you will not be as effective.
Yeah, well, that's kind of, you know, hard because, again, if you're in the middle of a stroke, you, like, out and you didn't know what was happening to him, you know.
Right.
But some of the things that can make you predisposed to having a stroke are high blood pressure, high cholesterol, other heart diseases, diabetes, being overweight and obese. So these are things. Also, having one stroke already can make you susceptible to having another. That's something we talked before we actually got on the air. So now that you went to the hospital, what are some things that they do to help calm the situation down? Are you able to share that, Alvin, what they did for you?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, if The timing was perfect. I got to the hospital in time to get the TPA treatment, which was you know, which helped break up any clots that's going on in your body. So I don't know how many. It was what, another 2 hours or hour?
No, it was an hour from the time he had the stroke. Yeah, from the time he had the stroke to the time that we got to the hospital and he got the medication, it was 1 hour. And they say, you know, anything over 3 hours, they can't help you. So we were in plenty of time to get the drug. Now, in Alvin's situation, it was so good that we got there in that amount of time also, because he had another experience where, you know, he actually had the stroke where the artery is clogged, the piece breaks off and goes up to your, it was in his carotid artery and goes up to your brain, and that's why he had the stroke. So he could have the TPA drug. They do tests to make sure you can get it. And in that time when he had started doing better, his speech had cleared up some, he could move his arms, but then he crashed and it became a life-threatening situation and they had to life-flight him down to another hospital at the stroke center at this other hospital. But there's another type of stroke called the hemorrhagic stroke where a blood vessel will burst in your brain. And that is, like, the most dangerous one, and there's really no treatment for that one. I mean, besides going through a stroke and trying to keep you alive, there's no treatment like the TPA. I found this out from my show and from having other nursing professionals and doctors on there that the drug doesn't work for that. And I was like, wow. So, but you wouldn't know what kind of stroke you had until you get to the hospital and they can do a CAT scan on you and see if it was a blood vessel that burst or if it was an artery that was clogged or exactly what is happening to you. So even if you can't self-diagnose, you can't say, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. You just, if you have any of these, your face is drooping on one side or your arm feels tingly or it's not raising up or your speech is slurring, you just call 911 and let the professionals handle it. And the other thing they were saying is do not try to drive the person to the hospital yourself. Call 911 and get the ambulance to do it because they can administer life-saving care in the ambulance. You cannot do that in your car.
Right, right. Let me let the people know that someone in the United States is having a stroke every 40 seconds. Every 40 seconds. Every 3 to 4 minutes, someone dies of a stroke. Stroke is the third leading cause of death for both men and women. But an interesting fact, in 2006, 6 out of every 10 deaths due to stroke were women. So that's something to keep in mind. And also to keep in mind that you don't have to be quote-unquote old or say, you know, over 50. Or, you know, people think about strokes as somebody being older, but that's not the case. You can be young, 35. Dr. Whitfield was telling me the other day that his friend, who was like 42 or something, had a stroke.
Right.
You know, it's
a very
severe stroke. So don't think, oh, I don't have to worry about that. Let's go back to the risk factors. Let's go back to the risk factors, and let's bring in some of your knowledge, Carol, about fitness and health, diet, the risk factors dealing with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, obesity. I mean, we're seeing this trend. We see it all in the news about the issue of obesity, starting out even with kids. What are some things you talk to your clients about in terms of stroke, their health, their diet, exercise? What are some things that you do maybe with your clients?
Well, first of all, I try to make them aware that 80% of the strokes that happen are preventable. And then the risk factors that can cause stroke, obesity, high blood pressure, things like that, are preventable. Diabetes, they can be preventable themselves. So if they keep with a nutritious diet, which means they're eating whole grains, non-processed foods, stay out of the white stuff, like no white sugars, no white bread, no white rice, occasionally, but try to stay with the whole grains and plenty of vegetables, especially green leafy vegetables, those things that we say we don't like when we're kids, like spinach and turnip greens, which I love, but all that is so good for you because vegetables really are free food. They're 75% water, and they provide so many vitamins and nutrients for your diet. And then the other thing is to get moving. One of the main things that I learned about stroke is that the reason people's arteries clog up is because they're eating all this food that's not good for them. It clogs up their arteries, and then they're not moving to try to keep their arteries open, so the blood vessels get constricted. So at any time, if you have a piece of the plaque pop off an artery and start you know, traveling up your already damaged artery and it makes a clot, you could have either a heart attack or a stroke. So all these things can be prevented or delayed, or because of Alvin. Now, Alvin has some risk factors in his history with his family history and things, but he had a stroke, and, you know, he was able to recover from it so quickly, we think, and we know, because of his physical capabilities, because, you know, he's in the gym. He doesn't eat a perfect diet, but he's a pretty good diet. He's always working out, so that helped him to recover faster.
Wait a second, Carol. You say he doesn't eat a perfect diet. Let me ask Alvin. Alvin,
if I eat a perfect diet, oh, no. I mean, I eat a lot better now. And I tell you, you know, I don't know why, especially men, we are the way we are. When things happen, then we make major changes. You know, I was always in the gym. You know, I played football in college, and so I was always active. But, you know, Carol, when we go to the gym together, Carol will talk about this. Man, you got to work this core, and you got to do this. And I'm like, you know, I said, no, man, you said that for your women clients. I want to get in here and, you know, pump this iron, get my pump on. And, you know, now I ask her. That's all I work is core. You know, it's
right.
It's just that the type of exercise. You know, I met a good friend with a guy who had a stroke also, and he was a marathon runner. So you would think, wow, that's the, you know. Yeah, he was a marathon runner. He's going through what I have went through. So I call him a lot and keep him pumped up and stuff like that. But again, it depends what's in your family. You could be slim, and then you have diabetes. If you know, have other factors in your family, you have to know your body and your family history. So that's just very
important. That's very important.
You have to know.
Trying to communicate, what's going on in your family. Talk to your mom, talk to your dad. If they're not around, talk to your, you know, grandparents. Well, I have to tell you, though, grandparents, you know, my grandparents, first of all, I never called them by their first name their entire lives. It's always Nana, Papa, you know, Granny, Grandpa. They don't talk about this kind of stuff. And, you know, people don't want to talk about illness or anything related to injury. I mean, don't worry about that. You know, how can we communicate to people that it's important to talk about these things before it happens? How do you talk to your clients about that?
Well, I tell them, and that's such a good point that you brought up, because even when I tell people, if you don't lose this weight, you could contract diabetes, you could have heart disease, or you could die of a stroke, they just kind of look at me with this glazed over look like, oh, okay, so what? My doctor told me to come here, or, you know, I can't fit in my pants. That's basically their thing. But I have to keep drilling it with them. Do you understand how important this is? Do you understand that with just changing a few things in your lifestyle, what you eat, how often you eat, how much you eat, how often you exercise or move around, you could prevent yourself from a debilitating situation? Because stroke is also the leading cause of disability in the United States. I mean, Alvin, thank God, he was able to get back all his facilities. I mean, he can move his hands, fingers, he can do everything he could do before. But unfortunately, some people cannot. Like the marathon runner he was talking about, this gentleman has a hard time. It really affected his leg, one of his legs, and he had to wear a boot all the time because his ankle could not support his weight. Can you imagine somebody who's used to running 30 miles a week? Now they have to wear something on, a brace on their leg, because it won't support you when you walk, and he can barely walk at times. So I just really try to stress it to them. I mean, it sounds like the other thing is, it may sound like a broken record, but you have to keep saying it. And I understand about the generations before, that they didn't want to talk about it. You know, it's a sign of weakness, and we don't talk about that. But if we don't talk about it, nobody knows. We can't do anything about the stuff that we don't know about. So you have to be your own best advocate. Like, there's a big movement now with the HIPAA laws and all that, you know, right to privacy and things like that, and the informed patient. Well, you have to be an informed consumer and an informed patient and informed person, because it's so much cheaper to manage your wellness than it is to manage your sickness.
Let's talk a little bit about smoking and alcohol use, too, in relation to having strokes. And Carol, do you see people who come work out but then go outside the gym and smoke cigarettes?
It's getting less, but I can always tell. Even if they don't say that they smoke cigarettes. I can tell, because usually they'll have that hint of cigarette smoke on them, or at some point, you know, I tell them. And when I was speaking with the person that's over the Stroke Association here in Georgia, smoking actually damages, smoking and alcohol also, actually damage your arteries and your nerve endings. And if your arteries are damaged, that makes you more susceptible to stroke. Now, we're not talking about an alcohol. We're not talking about like a drink a week, or maybe you have a glass of wine or something. We're talking about up to abuse of alcohol, you know, two or three drinks a night. That's really not good, because the alcohol is really damaging your nerves and is damaging your arteries. And if your arteries don't work correctly, just think your body is a roadmap of blood vessels to back and from your heart and your brain. So if those arteries are damaged, they can't function, and that's usually what happens. A weak artery, it may not directly cause a stroke, but if your artery is damaged, the wall is weakened, and it keeps getting weak and weak and weak, it could potentially burst, and then you're in a world of trouble. So why not just stop it? Just stop it now.
Alvin, what are some things you did after the stroke that you didn't do before?
Oh, wow. Man, so much has changed. I'm more conscious of my body. That's number one. Number two is taking every single med. You know, we quick to cut back on stuff whenever money tight. We cut here, we cut there. When you get put on medicine for diabetes, high blood pressure, you got to take those things. You know, I don't like taking medicine, but those are life-saving things. So that was important. And then, you know, I up my cardio a lot more than just going to gym and working out. Carol and I go running in the park. You know, we do a lot of walking. So I have changed. And also leaving work at work. You know, I was one of those that tried to work. Yeah, try to work around the clock. Man, when my time is up, I'm out of there. I leave it there. You know, so because I used to stress. I used to stress on work, and I worked 24/7. And you know, and I went to hospital, what, 3 months, Carol? I went to hospital about 3 months, right?
You
know, doing my outdoor work anyway. And, you know, I don't think work missed a beat. I mean, they missed me when I came back, but it didn't seem like they missed a beat, you know? But I always was a go-to person. And you just got to understand yourself and your body and make it work.
So, Carol, for you, what are some things you think are different now? You're the caregiver. What are some stresses that maybe you are having now that you didn't have before?
Whew, that could be a whole other show in itself. But the main thing I want to stress in being a caregiver, and as you said at the top of the show, it is totally different than in being a caregiver for other things. Certain things that happen now, for instance, a week ago. Alvin had an allergic reaction to a medication that he was taking that we didn't know he was allergic to, and he wound up having to be hospitalized for 4 days because his tongue swelled up so much that they thought it would block his airway. So just being conscious of every little thing. It's like not trying to worry about it, but you're just conscious and aware of little things, because now his system, we were actually speaking about this morning, but his system is so much more sensitive to different things. And like you said, a stroke is a brain attack. So if you think about your brain is the nerve center for your body, just like in a computer, you know, the hard drive, the motherboard is where all the action takes place. It's got to, you know, everything comes through there. So your brain dictates everything that goes on in your body. So when it's under attack, those pathways have to be renewed, strengthened, and your body reacts to different things. So as for me, you know, if I call him and for some reason he doesn't answer and I know he's home by himself, because, you know, we live together by ourselves, there's no kids or anything, then I could get this wave of panic, like, oh, my God. And he'll call me and say, oh, you know, I was just doing this, or I was here, I couldn't get to the phone or something. And it's just crazy. You just like so much, you know, you're on alert. And you
on edge, on alert.
Yeah, you're trying not to be, but then you're putting yourself at risk for a stroke. But but the other thing is compassion and understanding about what this person is going through, because you will never know. Every stroke is different. Every single person is different. Every single person's brain is different, so every stroke is different. Another person can have the exact same stroke that Alvin had and not have the same reaction, not recoup at the same amount of time. So you have to be compassionate because you'll never know what that person is really going to. So be compassionate, be patient, and kind of put your, you know, you, it's okay to, you know, I'm upset about this and I want to talk about this type of thing, but, you know, you can't be stressing the person out and, you know, taking your fears and putting them on the person and all that. It's just a whole new way in certain ways of living again, learning to live again
and
coexist.
Carol, let me just tell the audience, there is a website called caregiver.com. It's a national organization, and there are caregiver organizations around the country, conferences on caregiving. I remember my mother was dealing with her second husband. He, as I mentioned, had a stroke and had other illnesses, you know, they call comorbidity issues and things. But, you know, she would go to, you know, it's kind of, there's places that can help you get respite. A lot of organizations can allow you as a caregiver a break, and you need to take a break. Maybe go get a massage. Maybe go take a walk. Maybe go drink some tea. Go out with some friends. Go to the movies. Ask someone else to be with the person you're taking care of, and don't feel guilty about that. You know, that's not – you're taking care of yourself is just as important as you taking care of the other person who might have experienced, you know, this you know, episode, a stroke or diabetes or whatever it happens to be, MS, lupus, whatever. You have to take care of yourself. So that's key. We only have a couple minutes left. Alvin, what would you tell the men out there? What do men out there need to know about this?
Well, first of all, some of the things I said that were very important. There's no age. I have met people while I was going through rehab from as early as 25, I think, with the youngest person, you know, that I had met there that had a full-blown stroke. So it's very important that these men understand their bodies. They look on the web for information because this thing is a silent killer. It sneaks up on you, and, you know, you got to know your body. You got to watch what you're eating, and you have to be more active than just going out and playing basketball on the weekend with your friends. It takes more than that.
Yeah, definitely. And Carol, for yourself, what would you tell the caregivers? What are some suggestions you might want to give them?
Well, I have to say you're taking care of this person, but you do indeed have to take care of yourself. A perfect outlet, like you said, you know, get a massage. But for me, what I did was work out. You know, working out, exercising, it helps those endorphins come out. It gives you happy, good feelings, and you feel so much better. Even if I wasn't a personal trainer, I'd be doing that. So basically, like you said, I totally agree. Take care of yourself first, because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be any good to the person you're the caregiver for.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you so much for both of you coming on the show. Let me just reiterate Carol Dunlop's website, OptimumBodySculpting.com. Again, OptimumBodySculpting.com. Also, you want to check out Power to End Stroke. That's a great program with the American Stroke Association, particularly aimed at African Americans. And also stroke.org, you can check them out. And caregiver.com is another great website. So please think fast. Think about the face, the arms, the speech, and time. Time is of essence. Please call 911. Thank you, Carol and Alvin, for coming on and sharing your story. I wish you much success and many blessings.
Thank you so much for doing this. It was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for doing this show. This is very, very important. I thank you for that. I'm glad I was able to be part of this.
I'm glad that you're here, too, to be part of it, definitely.
Yes.
Thank you, Carol. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Okay, have a wonderful Sunday. Okay, bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show this Sunday morning. Please follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys. You can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Have a wonderful Saturday. Sunday. A little off there.
So, you want to...
Come on, the meeting's already started.
Sometimes it's important.
Last call, boarding gate number 9.
Sometimes it's urgent.
Set your alarm.
Sometimes it's vital. Hospital treatment within 1 hour of a stroke can prevent lifelong disability. If you notice someone experiencing sudden weakness on one side or having a problem speaking, walking, or seeing, call 911 fast. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.